Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Jesus said, "A little while, and you will not see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father." Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me? Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus makes plain throughout his entire ministry that every calling we have not only comes from him, but is understood in this world in light of his suffering. In other words, think about your own life. Whether you're a man or a woman, a husband or a father, a wife, a mother, a single person, someone who is well or someone who is sick. For us as Christians, he calls us to understand that our whole life in this world, which is sometimes known as a veil of tears, is to be understood in light of him and all that he suffered for us. There is not a pain or an anguish of heart or a source of sadness in your life that Jesus himself does not know. Today is Mother's Day. You know, when I first came into the ministry, there were a lot of disparaging remarks about celebrating Mother's Day in the church, and that is a very bad thing indeed. Jesus himself mentions mothers in the gospel for this fourth Sunday of Eastertide, comparing the pain of childbirth to his own suffering upon the cross. He calls it a little while. You think about Jesus suffering upon the cross. A little while? But what a horrific suffering it was as the sin of the world was laid upon him. He bore the punishment that you and I and the whole world deserved. He paid the ultimate price in the sacrifice of himself as he was separated from the Father and felt the anguish of being forsaken by God. You might find yourself in that same position today, this morning, on Mother's Day. As a mother who perhaps has unspeakable grief because of a child who has departed from the faith or a child who no longer pays any regard for you, or a single woman who so desperately would like to be married and to have a child and to raise a family of her own with a husband, but she's alone. No matter what the sorrow is, no matter what the suffering is, our Lord Jesus knows this. You see, vocation is about the call to faith in Christ, the call of the gospel to believe in him. And there simply is no Christian vocation, whether that of a mother or that of a single woman, that does not find its origin in Jesus, and particularly in his suffering of love for us. Jeremiah says in Lamentations, "Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed." Do you know what that means? It means that no matter what it is that we are suffering with in our lives, no matter how much the hardship or disappointment presses upon us, it is not the strength of the law that comforts us, but rather the all-sufficiency of God's mercy. So Lamentations, written by Jeremiah at a time in which Jerusalem was about to be destroyed and then was destroyed by the Babylonians, and they were carried away captive, he saw such widespread suffering and death. He saw such widespread impenitence and unbelief. A prophet who was called to preach the word of God that gave life, and yet his entire ministry was one of unspeakable suffering. But Jeremiah, like all faithful ministers, was called to see his ministry in light of the suffering of the greater prophet, who, though he preached the life-giving word, was forsaken and rejected by those whom he was called to save. Through the Lord's mercies, Jeremiah says, we are not consumed. Because, he says, his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Oh, that we might learn to believe this in our lives. It perhaps should be considered at the very center of our confession of sins when we gather on Sunday morning or when we go to sleep at night. How we so often do not make the Lord our portion, the sum and substance of our life, the source of our joy and our peace. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. I do not know what your source of suffering might be in your vocation as Christians this morning on this Mother's Day, but I do know that the words of Jeremiah are true. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his tender mercies. And so understand your life, no matter who you are. Understand your calling, no matter who you are. In light of the mercy of the Lord Jesus that was on display in his suffering. And see in the suffering of Jesus upon the cross that it was his greatest joy to suffer the effects of what sin did to our lives. You know, from the beginning of creation, God willed that we have life with God, that we share in his life and we share in his love, and sin ruined it all. But our Lord was not about to let go of his intention that we have communion and fellowship with him. And so we see the greatest glory of God on display in how Jesus' love that moved him to create, because he loved us like a mother who wanted to have children, to share her life and her love with her children, finds its greatest expression in the outpouring of his soul unto death so that we might live. And that's why I say to you today that no matter what your sorrow or suffering is, understand it in light of Jesus' suffering. Consider this. If you long to be married, he was single all his life. And he lived by faith in his Father and his Father's love and mercy, and the promise of the Father's salvation sustained him even in his darkest hour. The Lord's mercy and love in Jesus will sustain you. Perhaps you are a mother who rejoiced after the little while of childbirth at the new life that God granted you, but your life as a mother has been filled with anguish and hardship. Do not despair. Jesus understands your grief and your sorrow. Think about this. He poured out the very last fiber of his being in love to redeem a world, so many of whom would turn away from him. He has known what it is like to forgive and make a new child of God out of a sinner, and then to have that sinner turn away from him and rebel against him. If that's your pain, he knows that pain. Your vocation, your calling, finds its identity in the suffering of Jesus. Perhaps things have been taken from you in your life that you've loved, that you've cherished, that God gave you because you were very good at it. But you can't do those things any longer. Understand your calling of faith, your vocation, in light of Jesus' calling and Jesus' faith. He was stripped of his life. And you may be stripped of your life, even though you still live. And you wonder to yourself, what possible purpose do I have in my vocation, in my calling? Find your strength in Jesus. Everyone abandoned him when he was crucified. Everyone ran away from him. But he suffered all for you, that you might find your life in him. You know, the disciples, when they heard Jesus on Holy Thursday talk about this little while, it's one of the times in the scriptures where St. John's reporting of it really puts on display the utter confusion in the disciples. I find that very comforting. What is he talking about? A little while and you will see me, and again a little while and you will not see me. We don't understand what he's talking about. Do you understand what he's talking about? And he perceives their internal turmoil. And then he explains what he means. Most assuredly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. And you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. No one but a Christian understands the power of God's forgiveness and grace. It is also what makes so much of the pain of our lives so painful. But it is also through the things that we suffer in wanting to be faithful and live as our Lord would call us to live, that the mystery of learning the sweetness of his love bears its fruit in our lives. And so Jesus says, your sorrow will be turned into joy. That's a promise. I don't know when, but it is a promise. I don't know when, but I know that it is anchored in his resurrection from the dead. Because that little while of suffering of Jesus was not simply something that he had to get past and then on to the resurrection and new life. No, that suffering and that death, that horrible sorrow, was the source of new life and resurrection. The same is true for us. And so, think about this, you mothers on this Mother's Day. He compares your office to what he did, and he connects your sacrifice to the atonement A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. You see, the suffering that you go through, not just the labor pains, but also the emotional turmoil in your own life and trying to be a faithful mother and raise your children only to have them take you for granted or not pay any attention at all, is rooted in the same sin that nailed Jesus to the cross, but for which he still willingly died and made the ultimate sacrifice in love for us. God promises, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, they are new every morning. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. For you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, Jesus says, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. Because in the joy of the resurrection, we learn that the present sufferings of this life are not only worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, but the sufferings of this life are also how he teaches us to understand and grasp that suffering by faith and to draw our strength from that suffering in our suffering. Your sorrow will be turned to joy, and your joy no one will take from you, because in the resurrection, all the wrongs of this life, everything that sin has brought into our life, will be made right. You and I can't fix so much of our lives, can we? Christ has made all things new by the sacrifice of himself. And the word of the resurrection is peace be with you. And that word connects us to the Lord's mercies, which are new every morning, and it will not fail. And by that word, he sustains us under the cross to embrace the sufficiency of his grace and to look forward to that day, the day of the resurrection, the day of the joy that is eternal. And then we shall know the truth that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.